book of Ruth this morning, and we're talking about grafted into grace. We talk about in the genealogies in Matthew, the women that are brought in. And oftentimes the women aren't in the genealogies in Scripture. And so this really stands out of these women that God has brought into His genealogy as we go towards Christmas. Part of the ones who played a role in bringing Christ into this world. And we looked at Rahab last week, the sinner who God had forgiven. And I'm so glad we talk about, you know, this Christmas, and the greatest gift that you can have is God's forgiveness for your sin. That we are brought into the family and we are adopted. You know, this time of year, Hallmark movies start being played in our house. Now, I won't say who starts playing those, but it ain't me. And, you know, between the romance and all of that and blah, blah, you know. But you have these heartwarming stories of you know, the children who find a home, you know. And you see this greatest gift of the season. And folks, the Scriptures are far beyond any Hallmark movie. Amen? As we see this, and God just extends His grace towards us. You know, around the world, people will celebrate Christ and His coming. And yet, don't ask why He came. He came to save us. He came to save sinners, to redeem us, and bring us to Himself. We talk about this genealogy of being part of God's plan, and I am excited over what God has done for us. We are grafted in, and we look at these women, and if God can use them, He can use you, and maybe one of these ones really touch the heartstrings of you. Maybe like Rahab, that you have a shameful past that God has saved you out of. And in that, used you mightily for all these things. This morning we're going to talk about Ruth. And how Ruth was brought into the genealogy of Christ. Actually, Ruth becomes King David's great-grandmother. You know, brought into the royalty, if you will, of bringing in this throne that we talk about, which ultimately leads to the Messiah. Ruth was not an Israelite. She was from Moab. And she got married into the family. But she is a picture of this need for redemption. If you go through the whole story of the book of Ruth, we're not going to go through that. I'm going to summarize a whole lot of it this morning. But we talk about the idea of redemption. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty simple, man. The first thing I think of redemption, I think of the 5 cents you pay for your old bottle of soda, right? And in our house, you know, we collect those. My daughter collects them up. And then she turns them in, and that's the closest thing she gets to an allowance. You know, it's her job to gather them up, to keep them up, bring them in, and so she works pretty hard for her few cents that she has. But I think of redemption, but the idea of redemption is to buy back, to bring back into a status that was lost previously. The Bible talks a lot about redemption. Our need for redemption. And Ruth really typifies that. That Ruth shows us that she was a woman that needed redemption. We're going to see how this plays out in the Scripture this morning. Ruth chapter 1 verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and certain men of Bethlehem of Judea went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. Moab travels all up, right, he moves his family out looking for a better place to live, a new fresh start. He travels up and he brings his 2 sons with them. And as it happened, as they're there, the sons find wives. Amazing how that happens. Verse 4 and 5, it says, now they took wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one was Orpah, and the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. So as they go in there, they travel up, right? And time goes by, they settle into the land, and they find these women, and they marry them. And then tragedy happens, and over the course of time, Naomi's husband dies, and both sons die. And this leaves Ruth without any hope. You need to understand, as they travel through, actually, Naomi says this, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to his mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me, and the Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. Now, you can call this sexist, you can say this is unfair, but this is the way the times were, that actually in here, that the women didn't have any legal rights. So when Naomi goes home, her lineage, right, the properties that were given to her family, she had no right of, and actually those wouldn't pass on to the males in the family. Naomi realizes this, and she's got nothing to offer. Everything she has is gone. Here she is even in a strange land. And so she starts heading home, right? Maybe to find some relative, find some normalcy. Well, maybe you've dealt with that. Maybe you've moved away, and then you, through circumstances, want to go back home. I remember when we were in upstate New York going to Bible school and going through some hard times. And my wife looked at me and she goes, I just need to go home. I just need to go home. We had just lost our firstborn. We were struggling financially. What was I supposed to say? So I brought her home. We moved back up around her family, allow her to heal, to strengthen, for us to get our feet underneath us. And I pictured Naomi turning around and says, look, I'm going home. But she's got her two daughter-in-laws who aren't Jewish. And she's like, look, why don't you guys go back to your families? She goes, I got nothing to offer you. I have no money. I have no wealth. I have no status. I have nothing to give you. You guys go back to your families. And may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord give you husbands. And may the Lord bless you in all your life. And Orpah goes home. But Ruth decides to say, still in chapter 1 of Ruth, and Ruth said to her, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything, but death parts you and me. She turns around and being faithful says, Mom, I'm not going anywhere. And Naomi's concerned, and she's like, I have nothing to give you. I got nothing. And yet Ruth is faithful, even in her need. But we see this need of redemption, that she has nothing. She's empty-handed. The Bible reminds us, in the book of Isaiah, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We are all like wandering sheep. Most of us in this world are lost. That in this world we are apart from God. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seek after God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become unprofitable. There is no one who does good. No, not one. You and I are in need of redemption. We are born dead in our trespasses and sin. Look at this world. Watch the news for 5 minutes. You see how lost we are. And people are grasping. You know, my heart aches as we look in this world and so many are so desperate to be something that they're not, just so that they're something. This world is not giving hope. We're not seeking after God. Actually, our country is going further and further every day. The Bible warns us that the hearts of men will grow cold, and we see this. How many people do you know along the way have dropped off? People who used to sit right next to you or right in front of you in church are now off, all consumed with the things of this world. We are in need of redemption. We are lost. Just like Naomi, she's got nothing. We have nothing. We have nothing to offer God. The psalmist says this, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You know, somehow we've gotten such an arrogance about us that we deserve God's goodness. We don't. But we are in desperate need, and the psalmist understands this. He says, what is man? What have we done that God should open his hearts out to us? You and I cannot earn our salvation. We do not deserve our salvation. But I'm so glad he gives it. Aren't you? You know, there's a gentleman that the Lord keeps bringing across my path, and we've had some really good, honest conversations. And he struggles with the fact, he goes, I'm just a good person. I do good things. And I tell him, it's not about being good. The Bible says all our righteousness are as filthy rags. That all of us are in need of redemption. And it's a price that we can't pay. Right? And I can't pay your price for you, right? Because I got my own. But praise God, he didn't leave us there. God has a plan for that redemption. God has a plan. See, Ruth and Naomi come back to Bethlehem. And they settle in there. Now, like I said, they have nothing. They're poor. And Ruth goes out and starts gleaning from the field. And actually, you read the Old Testament that God had a provision for the poor. That the farmers were supposed to go through and anything that was left in the field, they weren't supposed to go back and make sure and clean it up so good there was nothing left. They were supposed to go through, get what they wanted out of the harvest, and then whatever was left, the poor were able to go back and pick this up. I don't know if they've done that. I don't know the blueberry fields. I don't know. When we were up north, we went potato picking. And that was a big thing, right? School would be let out. The kids would all go. And I remember being in fourth grade out picking potatoes, trying to earn money. Has anyone here picked potatoes? Anyone done that? Yeah, right? You have your section, you pick it up, you put it in the basket, you put your little ticket on there, they come through and pick it up, and I don't know, I think the big money was like 25 cents, I think by the time I was done for a barrel of potatoes that you picked. And we used that because growing up, my mom told us that, look, our school clothes was bought with that money, and then anything left over after our school clothes that we could spend it wherever we wanted, so that was incentive to get, right? But it's hard work. But afterwards, a lot of people from the community would go out into the fields and see what potatoes were left. And it's amazing how much potatoes people would get. And some people would get enough potatoes over the course of harvest that they were able to get through the winter with the potatoes they were able to find. So God had a provision, a plan, taking care of these poor. And later, at the beginning of chapter 2 of Ruth, it says, and her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today, right? So Ruth has been going out, doing what she can to help provide for the family. And Naomi asks her, where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? And it says, blessed be the one who took notice of you. What happened was, she went out there, and she was working away, and a young man named Boaz saw her. And he owned the field, right? And he's like, hey, who's that lady over there? Oh, that's Ruth. Oh, okay. And he notices her. Now, they don't have all the details work out yet, right? We're going to come into that in just a moment of who this is and how it all works together. But we just know that he had compassion on her. And in here, he told his men to watch out for her. Right? Because it'd be dangerous. And he told her, he goes, look, why don't you sit close to my men? Right? As you're cleaning the field, you know, Naomi's going through here. Why don't you go ahead and just leave a little extra down there for her? He was getting kind of sweet on her. But see, this is all part of God's plan. Actually, the scripture goes in and says, look, so she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I worked today was Boaz. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord who is not forsaking his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Now, first of all, you hear that relative, part of you is like, ew, right? I mean, no, we're not talking quite that close. Actually, I talk about the county. I have friends up there, and it's interesting, we were having a conversation, and she talked about her friend's husband. Her first cousin's married, so they were cousins, right? This isn't quite that way. But what this was a way, see, God had provided that if you go back in the Old Testament, that God had provided a way to restore. See, the inheritance was given to families, and it was passed on from family to family to family. But if something happened, that because of a death, that in you there was a way for another relative to come in and redeem the properties and give it back and to restore it to fullness. To redeem that. And Naomi realizes, wait a minute, this is Boaz, he's a close relative. He qualifies to redeem Ruth, to buy back, to bring back to restoration all the things that she had lost. And she's like, praise God for your provision in doing all of this. And it wasn't Naomi scheming and planning. It wasn't Ruth. Right? She had no idea who this is. Just per chance, they ended up in the right field. Just per chance, ended up with the right man. I think not. God plans for restoration. Folks, just like with us. This morning we did communion to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. It's not that we earn our salvation. We are in desperate need of redemption, of being bought back, but we can't pay the price. But Jesus Christ himself came and gave his life for us. He paid the price. Galatians says this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. This is my favorite Christmas verse. You can say, well, Pastor, this doesn't sound like a Christmas verse. It is. When the fullness of time has come, right? God sent forth his son, Jesus Christ, came at the right time. Why? That he might redeem us. That in here, that he could pay the penalty. He could pay for our sins. Folks, without Christ, we are destined to a place called hell. Separation of God forever, where the worm doesn't die and the flame doesn't go out. You know, every once in a while you talk to someone and go, well, I'm going to go down to hell and be with all my buddies. They do not understand what that means for eternity. And God sees us and sees we're lost and sees we're destined for that. And He loves us so much He gave His Son at the right time. He interjected Himself into history that Christmas so long ago. Just a few weeks, the world will be celebrating Christmas. And so many don't realize what they're celebrating. You know, we went down and saw the Christmas parade in Bucksport yesterday. And watching the lights go by. And it was all pretty. And saw a few Santa Clauses. Actually, I think I saw more Grinches. I think the Grinch is more popular than Santa Claus now. I don't know what that says about our culture. But it's not about gifts and candles and candy canes. It's a picture of Jesus Christ coming because we need to be redeemed. And He came born as a babe, but He didn't stay there. He grew up sinless and died upon the cross for you and me. It's His plan. I wasn't seeking it out. I was lost. I was separated from God. And yet He provided every step of the way. Romans encourages us, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Right? We are redeemed. We are saved. We're declared righteous all because of Jesus. Knowing that we are not redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold or from aimless conducts received by traditions from our fathers. Right? Going to church doesn't redeem you. Giving money in the plate doesn't redeem you. Giving food to the homeless does not redeem you. That's what Peter's saying here. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Folks, Christmas came that we may have Easter. He came to die. But praise God, 3 days later, He rose again to give us life. God's plan. It's not my plan. I wouldn't have sought it out. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I just believe it. And all those who believe on it, God gives eternal life. You are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ Himself. So we have God's, our need for redemption. We have God's plan for redemption. The last thing I want to leave you with this morning is the idea of we need to pursue that redemption. God has provided it. He has provided a way for it. But it's sitting there and we need to respond to that. Right? Here we go. Ruth was out in the field. And she's working, runs across Boab. But that wasn't the end of it. Right? All of a sudden, Naomi's, the wheels start turning here. Right? You ever had that aunt that's sort of that matchmaker? There's these ladies that they see it as their job to matchmake everyone. Oh, wouldn't it be great if so-and-so is? It's like, all right, don't. I remember when I was young and single and, ay, ay, ay. You know? I'm glad I found my wife and not someone else brought her alongside. Ruth tells us. This is Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you are with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you will notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." Right? The wheels are turning. Naomi says, look, Ruth, watch Boaz, he's threshing, he's working hard tonight. He's probably not gonna go home, he's gonna probably just camp out. Find out where he's camping. Right? As he goes, look, pretty yourself up. Clean yourself up. Put on your best garb. Find out where he's going. And when you find out where he's going, she goes, go in and find out where he's at. And take the blankets, take it off his feet, and then lay down at the foot of the bed. Now I find this interesting. Because all she can do is make herself available, right? So she comes in and she does this, and she uncovers his feet. Because what's going to happen in the middle of the night? He's going to get cold. And when he gets cold, what's he going to do? He's going to wake up. And when he wakes up, he's going to see Ruth there. Guess what happens? Now it happened at midnight. The man was startled and he turned himself and there a woman was laying at his feet. And he said to her, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing. For you are a close relative. And Ruth puts herself at the mercy of Boaz. But she pursues this. Because she knows she's lost. She knows she doesn't have standing. And Boaz can restore her, can redeem her. And the rest of Ruth goes on that Boaz does agree. There's another relative that's in the way, another man who's actually closer to. And he turns around and he goes, I'll do it, because he figures I'll get all the land. And they say, well, yeah, you'll get all the land, but you got to marry Ruth. And he goes, oh, no, I don't want to do that. So he backs out and Boaz steps in. But folks, as we turn around and God offers his plan of redemption for us, we have to respond. Jeremiah says this, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Folks, God wants to be found. His plan of salvation for everyone, but only is given to those who call out to him. Romans says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. It's not earning it. It's not that we deserve it. God has done all the work. God's plan of redemption is offered to all. You know, come Christmas, all the gifts will be piled underneath the tree. They've all been bought. They've all been given. They've all been paid for. But come in the morning, you have to go underneath that tree and you have to open it. Right? You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You just receive it. God's plan of salvation is offered to each one of us, and we have to respond. That we take this and we call out on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. Forgive me. Lord, I give my life to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, the best gift that you can have this Christmas is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Folks, if you've done that, you've asked the Lord to forgive you, and you've given him your life. Folks, you have the best gift of all because you have Jesus. You have Jesus. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. You just got to receive it. And if you've done that, folks, this season, rejoice over the redemption that you have given. You are free from your sin and the weight of guilt and shame. Yeah, you are now an inheritance into the kingdom of God. A place where no more pain or no more sorrows. What a blessing day that will be. Praise God that we are grafted into his grace. He has redeemed us all by his work and his love. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace that's offered to us. Lord, we don't deserve it. But Lord, I pray that we will receive it. Lord, if someone is a stranger to your grace this morning, Lord, I pray today will be that day that they'll just say a prayer. Lord, dear Jesus, that you died on the cross for me, that you are God. Lord, forgive me of my sins, Lord, and help me to live for you. And Lord, through that, Lord, you will redeem them. Those of us this morning that know you, Lord, help us to walk in who we are. Lord, help us to love you, not in our words, but in our deeds, in our actions, Lord. Help us to share that grace with those around us, Lord, that free gift of redemption is available to all. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.